Hey fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch Show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Paris Jackson.
Oh!
It's coming to the red couch.
Right.
And it's your red couch.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You're gonna have to give me some one-on-one classes. This is how.
No, you got it.
You talk to the camera.
But you got this. It'll be good.
She's here.
Oh, she's coming down?
She's coming down.
Oh, okay.
Bandit, are you gonna come and greet Paris with us?
Hey!
What's up, dude?
Thank you so much.
It's good to see you. It's been so long.
I know. You look great.
Thank you. So do you.
It's so good to see you.
I love your shoes. Long.
I haven't seen you in like 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like,
wait,
13.
What?
Yeah.
I was like 13. So yep. It's been
a long time.
Wasn't that on the Hawthorne
time.
Set? That was on the Hawthorne set.
Yeah, her grandmother brought her through.
Hi.
Yeah, Bandit was like, I want to meet Paris.
That's been 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years.
Whoa. Shall we go inside?
Let's do it.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Peace. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you. Come on, man. Come with me. Come on.
I met Paris Jackson when I was 10 years old. Her grandmother, Catherine, brought Paris and her brothers, Prince and Blanket, to meet Jaden and me on the set of my mom's TV show, Hawthorne. In the decade that followed, Paris and I built a strong bond. Growing up with parents in the spotlight, we have a lot in common. The only girl in a family of boys, a passion for music, careers in modeling, shared spirituality, struggles with body image, mental health, sexuality. Since losing her legendary father, the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, when she was just 11 years old, Paris has been to hell and back. Now she's joining me for my very first conversation on the red couch.
This is my first time doing this one-on-one.
Sweet, yeah, when you were like, yeah, it's casual.
Yeah, it was like casual but vibey.
But vibe, always vibey though. I don't know how to do this. You gotta walk me through this.
I got you. You're right here. I got you. I've always just described you as being such a beautiful soul.
Ditto.
And even since the first time that we met, since that moment, I just felt such a purity mm-hmm. and a beauty within you. And just seeing how you have really blossomed.
Well, that means a lot to me, first of all. I feel the same way about you. Even when we don't talk for a little while, even if it's just through texting or whatever, it's always nice to know that like you and I are always on the same vibe.
There were a lot of dark times that we can get into.
I'm an open book, like whatever you
yeah.
want to ask me.
How has your social anxiety been after this pandemic? Because I know for me, my nervous system has been on an all-time claws out.
It's always been pretty gnarly, my social anxiety. I don't know if you get this too. I experience audio hallucinations sometimes of camera clicks and severe paranoia. And have been going to therapy for a lot of things, but that included, and I've like started EMDR.
Like you hear camera clicks?
I'll hear like a trash bag rustling and I like flinch and panic.
Is that from the paparazzi?
Yeah, wow. I think it's just standard PTSD.
Since the day she was born, Paris has been hunted by paparazzi. As a little girl, she remembers being stepped on as they chased down her father.
Michael.
Not long ago, Paris was harassed and traumatized while simply walking through the airport.
So you think somebody murdered your father?
You guys are like blinding me. I'm really sorry.
Okay, can you back up, everybody? Back up.
Paris, what are your thoughts about murder of your dad?
Come on, give him a break.
Please stop.
Hey, guys, stop.
Stop.
That's abusive
oh,
to be
100%.
Like. 100%.
I have like nightmares, but it's primarily like if I'm out in public during the day. I don't really go out during the day. I do catch it affecting my personal relationships, especially romantic relationships. PTSD can affect pretty much every aspect of your life. I've just like started the healing process. I don't know if you know what EMDR
yes.
is. I love EMDR. It's very intense. And it puts you in a very fragile and vulnerable state, but it is a very effective kind of therapy.
I definitely feel like in a lot of my personal relationships, like mostly friendships, that I'm very paranoid about like information.
Right.
Like, oh, 100%. If I'm telling
everyone that walks into my house signs an NDA.
Yo,
like it's gnarly.
It's gnarly. Like, even being like, oh, like delete that text because I don't want people to like,
oh, yeah. It does a lot to your nervous system. because you're constantly in fight or flight.
Exactly.
Fight, flight, freeze, collapse. You're constantly like walking on eggshells, constantly looking over your shoulder. Like you have to sit up straight and act right, because if you don't, it not only reflects on your reputation, your family's reputation.
Exactly.
Like it's very like, be careful, sit, smile, like do the right thing.
100%.
You know, be presentable. It does some serious shock. Yeah. You know, I feel like there's got to be some kind of permanent damage. Just why I love camping so much, because we're in the middle of nowhere.
We need to do it again.
Yes. I think they opened up that spot that we went to.
We have to go back.
That's
we have to go back.
My favorite spot.
100%.
That's my favorite spot.
Do you feel like there's anyone in your life right now that you can trust completely?
I have a couple people, which is priceless, and I hold on to that, and I don't take it for granted.
Suicide rates have been higher than they have ever been since 1999, and I know that we both have been there.
I was talking to my friend about this the other night. A lot of people do feel regret when they try and attempt suicide, like a last minute regret. There have been times where I did and times when I didn't, where I was upset that it didn't work.
Yeah.
But I can say like several years later that like I'm really grateful that it didn't. Things have gotten better.
Yeah. What do you think started that for you? Like that emotional spiral for you?
Like what caused me to get to that dark place?
Totally.
I think it was everything, man. Yeah. I think a lot of it was just not knowing who I was, being a young girl going through puberty, and probably a lot of just my situation and a lot of pressure. It was really hard, and like people would tell me to kill myself every day. And I was depressed.
For years, Paris has been the target of vicious cyberbullying.
I'm just really, really tired.
At one point, it got so bad, she posted this heartbreaking video.
I've tried sticking up for myself. I've tried the whole blocking the haters thing, not reading the comments. And I don't get why I'm such an easy target. When I was 14, I got so much hatred that I tried to kill myself. I'm just tired of it. I'm just really, really tired.
How did you start to bring yourself back to a better mental space?
Initially, I think it was, it's kind of morbid, the radical acceptance that it just wasn't meant to be. Just like, okay, I've tried and tried and tried, and it's really not working. Maybe it's just not my time, and that sucks. And for a while, it was like, I'll just wait it out kind of thing, which is so dark. But I've heard these gnarly stories of people that have like tried to hung themselves and they ended up paralyzed, but they still lived. And knowing my luck, as like as many times as I tried, like I'd probably end up in that kind of a situation. So it was just a radical acceptance of when it's my time, it'll be my time, and I'll wait it out till then. And during that waiting time, I've just found more and more joys in life and more ways to cope and more ways to like really live instead of just exist. Well, I've told a few friends about this experience that I had last autumn. It was the night of the harvest moon, dude. And I experienced self-love for the first time in my entire life. Then I was having a really rough night because some old memories came up. I was like, okay, like I'm gonna like sit and be with myself and like do a little prayer. And then I just like felt the need to get up and go into the mirror and start doing these affirmations. Mm-hmm. And once I finished, I like saw myself, which is wild, and recognized myself for the first time in like 10 years. And I was like, oh, what's up? Hey, old friend. Like, it was this really corny moment between me, myself, like in the mirror.
What
and
did
it was
that
just like,
feel like?
I don't have words to describe it. It's so intense. It's just a lot of gratitude. It took a really long time to get to that point.
So now you're able to see how beautiful you are.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
It's nice.
100%.
But affirmations helped a lot. I always try and recommend them to friends, even though it's super uncomfortable and awkward at first. I don't know why it's so awkward and embarrassing to be by yourself in the mirror and be like, you're worthy, you're good enough.
It's
like,
the best.
It feels uncomfortable at first when you first start getting into the hang of it.
It just makes me so happy to feel like you see that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
There are so many people who have suffered from losing loved ones, specifically during the COVID pandemic. How did you find the strength to keep going after losing your dad?
I don't know. It kind of just happened. I was so young that it wasn't like a conscious of I'm going to keep going and like, you know, I was just going through the motions and like didn't really understand what was happening. And so I just went with what I was told to do. And okay, I'm living here now. And okay, I'm going to school now and I'm not homeschooled anymore. And I'll just do what I'm told.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really have much guidance.
After her dad died, Paris and her brothers moved in with her grandmother, Catherine. The Jackson family matriarch was named permanent guardian. The children went from homeschooling and traveling the world with their father.
Paris, come here. Come here.
To attending traditional school and living under Catherine's strict Jehovah's Witness beliefs.
Whoa. Are you still close to your dad's side of the family?
I'm still very close with my brothers, and I see my family during family reunions, and I tell them all the time, if you want to call me, call me.
Yeah.
I got love and respect for all of you guys.
Totally.
And try and see my cousins. I just saw my cousins for Thanksgiving and Christmas, even though we don't call it that, because a lot of them are Jehovah's Witness. So we're just like, family reunion during the holidays kind of thing.
So your mom came into your life at age 15.
Mm-hmm.
In 1996, Michael Jackson married Debbie Rowe, an assistant at a dermatology office. They had two children, Prince and Paris. When they divorced, Debbie gave up custody and the kids lived with their father full time. Paris grew up without her mother.
Meeting your mom, how has that journey been for you?
It's cool. I mean, like getting to know her, seeing how similar we are. Getting into what kind of music she likes, and she really likes country and folk. I sent her some of the stuff that I'm working on that have like banjos in them.
You guys,
that's us.
So
that was
cute.
Us like a few months ago.
My God,
for her birthday.
That is so sweet.
We look a lot alike. All
you
after
do.
This, I'll send you a picture that she sent me when she was my age in the 70s.
Yeah,
we look exactly alike. It's just cool having her as a friend. It's very chill.
Chill, yeah.
Which I love. That's the perfect word to describe it.
How did you get your name, Paris?
So I've been told that Kathy Hilton and my dad were really close growing up. They were like best friends, and I think they made some kind of a pact that they were going to name their first daughter Paris. I think that's how me and Pete, we call her P1, I'm P2. Paris mm-hmm. Hilton got her name as well. Then there's also like another story of just like my dad really, really loved that city so much. When I got to truly explore Paris, I felt really connected to him. I was like, okay, like I get it.
100%.
I just didn't understand my name for a long time. And then I went there and I'm like, I get it. This is awesome.
That's so beautiful. I want to ask you, I know it took a lot of courage to like step out and do this debut album.
I don't know what gave me the courage to do it. It's just like, I just couldn't suppress it anymore.
Yes.
You know?
What do you think was the starting point of you feeling like, okay, like I really feel like I want to make this project. I really want to put my all into this.
Heartbreak was the main thing. And it was the deepest heartbreak I'd ever experienced, but also one of the most powerful rebirths that I've ever had. And finding my voice and finding my sound and embracing being a musician. I was scared to do that for a long time.
100%.
A long time. You know, it's been like a hobby of mine for a long time.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm just like, nah, like this is who I am. I'm a musician.
What about that heartbreak put you on that specific path? Because I know that specifically for me and so many people, experiencing heartbreak can either close you off and you could be like, oh no, I'm just going to be in my cocoon.
It did do that. It was the deepest I've ever like loved someone. It was the most intense that I've felt so far, and the most intense betrayal that I'd felt so far and experienced. And it's definitely closed me off to that. Like, I'm very careful with who I spend time with now, and I'm very guarded and just trying to protect myself. But music has always been there for me.
You had said that music saved your life.
Oh, for sure. It makes me feel less alone, and it makes me feel heard. There were some dark times where I did feel like music was all I had.
I just feel like you've done such a beautiful and graceful job of doing your own thing, because kids like us do, we feel like we have to live up to this certain standard.
I feel like it's still probably there somewhere in the back of my head, but the louder thing that competes is that I feel like my dad would be proud.
I hear that there's a song that you have written.
Yes. Freckles, I wrote last week. It's actually one of my only happy songs.
I heard you brought your guitar.
Such a beautiful guitar. Thank you. She's my travel friend. I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I love you. Don't be nervous. Can I do anything?
No, you're good. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Take both of our names.
is the sun and moon can't meet. Maybe one day they'll fall in love. And he will sweep your off your feet. And we'll replicate the book above. An adventitious love affair. Something to predict. A likely flawed contrasted pair. Unconventionally perfect. You are to me. I'll carve your skin with fly speck art and match your freckles to the stars. Unconventionally perfect. You are to me.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I thought it was adorable.
An adventitious love affair.
Yeah.
Not really something to predict. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I love those lyrics.
Thank you.
Match your freckles to the stars. Like, come on now. Come on now, lyrics.
Thank you.
And it kind of sounds like you're talking about a lady.
It's got a few inspirations.
Off of that note, we both like girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask how was that journey for you, alongside being in the limelight and being famous and having all of these people looking at you and figuring out your sexuality, figuring out what you were attracted to, what kind of relationship you wanted to have?
I mean, I'm still kind of figuring it out. My family is very religious, and a lot of homosexuality is just very taboo, so they don't like to talk about it. It's not really accepted. But I've gotten to a point where I respect them and I have love for them. I respect their beliefs, I respect their religion.
Do you think that that kind of affected you in your growing stages, that feeling that maybe that wouldn't be accepted?
Yeah, but right now I'm at a point where it's to expect them to put aside their culture and their religion. Expectations to me lead to resentments.
Totally.
And what people think about me isn't my business.
100%. You
know? Yeah, but there were moments where it was really hard and you feel alone, you feel kind of excluded.
Were there people in your family who supported you?
My brothers. Yeah, they didn't understand it at first. My older brother, who's about 14 months old, you met Prince.
Yeah, we both have two older brothers, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Blanket is younger than you.
He's younger. I have two older brothers, and then BG. He goes by BG now. He's 4 years younger. But they've always been super supportive. Prince joined a GSA club in high school.
Oh, that's awesome.
To learn about it, because he wanted to support me. Not a lot of people can say they have siblings that support them like that.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I find that growing up with my brothers and spending so much time with them and being the only girl, I got to see the differences in how society and even my parents would treat us. They would get certain freedoms or certain things or whatever.
It just wasn't fair.
Yeah, it just wasn't fair. Did you feel any of that?
Totally. I mean, yeah, my brothers got to go have sleepovers whenever they wanted, and they can go do whatever. They can go to parties and stuff.
Totally.
Way more strict for me. But also at the same time, I was daddy's little girl.
Totally.
I was the only girl.
Yeah.
So I was definitely excluded at some points because I wasn't cool enough to kick it with the boys, and then got some special treatment for being the only girl. So it's you win some, you lose some.
It's true.
What was it like for you discovering your sexuality and moving through that?
Whew. It was very weird for me because people were telling me online before I even knew what that was, that I was a lesbian, that I dressed like a lesbian, that I talked like a lesbian, and all of these different things. And so just kind of seeing that at a very young age was like, is this a bad thing? I kind of didn't know how to react to it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, is there something wrong with me? Why is everyone saying this?
Right. I thought for a really long time that the only way to express my sexuality as being a female that liked other females was to be super masculine. I had the short hair and I had all the things. I just didn't know any better. I was just learning as I was going along and was very sheltered from all of that at a young age. So I went all in immediately, and now I'm just, I can do whatever and do whatever feels good and dress however and act however. And it doesn't change how I feel on the inside. It's 100%. Just as long as I'm me, I can be feminine, I can be more tomboy, I can do whatever, as long as it feels like me.
Yeah, as long as it's authentic.
Yeah.
I know for myself, I don't really see myself getting married or having children or doing that traditional thing. But how do you feel about that?
Well, to quote Journey, loving a music man ain't always what it's supposed to be. I don't know, man. Right now, I'm married to music.
Yeah.
And I have been. Whatever happens. I'm like, I'm not against marriage. If I'm happy and I love someone, sure. But right now, my main thing is my spirituality, my music, and like doing what is right for me right now. I'm too young to think about that.
About kids?
Yeah.
No kids?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I can tell you how many kids you're going to have if you give me your palm. Are you right-handed?
Yes, I'm right-handed.
Close. Two.
That's what it says?
Maybe four.
No.
Definitely at least two.
Oh, God.
You don't want kids?
No.
Why not?
I don't want... man, I think global warming needs to get figured out first.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think we need to figure that out.
We could build an army.
We could.
We could build an army of, like, woke-ass kids.
To be the free thinkers and warriors of the next world.
I'd be down for that. Yeah.
The Red Table producers thought this would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
A little trip down memory lane.
Okay,
they pulled a few photos of each of us from various stages in our lives.
Oh, no.
Let's go through them.
No, man, okay.
Wow.
Look at that.
This was the Mohawk days. I think I had some cuts on my wrist during that time, actually.
I did the same thing to cover it up and be like, oh, it's fashion.
Yeah, it's fashion.
Yeah, like, and like,
I'm not bleeding into my wristband.
I did the same thing.
That was tough times.
Oh, these are bad.
Yes! Let's
this is full
wait,
bat
wait.
One.
No, look at that.
That one's so bad.
I love your hair.
It's a fried one.
I love your hair.
It's so bad.
I feel like the amount of dye and perms
it was fried
between
so
both of us.
So bad. It was so bad. It took so long to grow my hair out and like keep it healthy.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Let's just move on from that. And
yes!
This one, we're moving on.
Oh,
let's look at
this stage.
Look at you.
No, this stage was too much. I was like 11.
How are you so cool when you were 11?
No,
when I was 11, I looked like a nerd, dude. I had like a Harry Potter cloak that I wore to the airports. Like, I was so weird at 11.
No, my mom did not want me wearing these shirts because you remember when Odd Future was like new and upcoming and they had 666 and the upside down crosses and everything on their stuff. So she was like, you can't wear this. And I was like, yes, I can, mom.
Nice. Good old rebellion.
Yes.
Oh, this is only a few years ago.
What was your emotional state in this time?
I was not very happy
when
this was taken.
Totally.
As you can see, I was going through it and finding just not the best coping skills. And,
and
this was when I was very disconnected from my spirituality and my music.
I feel like we connected during this time.
We did.
Yeah, we did connect during this time. I feel like we've come into each other's lives at such formative times.
I love this look.
This whole outfit was not the vibe.
No?
I didn't feel very cute, and I just wanted to do something different. That's why I got this weave, and I was like, I don't think it worked out great.
I like it a lot, though.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Look, you're just... Oh, my goodness. I just... like, goddess much? Goddess
That dress
much?
Was so
goddess?
Heavy. That dress was, like, 50 pounds.
I feel like you were doing good here.
It was very fried. Yeah, I was chilling then. I was chilling. That was like right after I adopted my dog and rescued her.
How many dogs do you have now?
I have one, and then I rescued a cat last year. Oh. I changed his name from Fredo to Frodo. He's an old mangy thing, and I love him so much.
My
they
God.
Both cuddle with me at night. They get along great.
We need to get our animals together.
Done.
Because I have three cats and one dog.
I don't know how Frodo does with other cats, but Koa's chill with other dogs.
This is giving femme vibes.
This is gorgeous. I love this.
Thank you.
The dogs, always.
I was in a good place emotionally here, but I was nervous out of my mind.
Why?
Because I had never been half naked on a spinning table before in front of...
That would be pretty nervous.
I was like, yo, what am I doing? This is crazy. You look amazing here.
That was probably, I want to say, 3 years ago. So I probably wasn't in the best state.
Totally.
But I'd been doing the modeling thing for a while. So I was just like, I think I was just going through the motions here.
Yes!
This was with David LaChapelle. That was a really cool shoot.
My goodness. You look like a Pleiadian. Like, you look like a light being.
I've been told that I am Pleiadian.
Yeah.
Which I think is a total compliment. You strike me as an Atlantean.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been told that
or
before.
Like a woodsy fairy.
Totally.
Or a combo of both.
Yes. I definitely feel like an Atlantean and woodsy fairy. The RTT fam wanted to get in on our convo. Mm-hmm. We've got a few viewers standing by with questions.
All right, run it.
First up, we have Sonia from California. What's going on, Sonia?
Hi. So I lost my dad when I was 3 years old, and the only memory I have of him is being at his funeral, which is really odd. And I have my mom, who I lost at 12, and I feel like all my memories I had with her were just dreams. They didn't even feel real when I talked to people about her. So I want to know for you, what was something you did or that you do to keep your memories alive with your father?
I take the positive things that I learned from him, the good morals that I learned, and try and use them every day. Humility, compassion, tolerance, just being kind to other people, even if it's someone that did you wrong, to pray for them and be kind to them. Be kind to yourself. That's just a very standard way that I keep that memory alive and do what I can to make him proud.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much. Okay, so, hey, we have Mike in Virginia.
How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Before I start, I just want to say that the mugs are given today. Y'all are beautiful. I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Thank you.
I'm looking perfect. Okay, so I'm in a bit of a situation. So I have been dating these two guys, and unfortunately, one has found out about the other. And now he's making me choose between the two. So I need a little bit of advice from y'all. Like, I don't know whether I should choose one or don't choose one at all.
Can I hop in on this one?
Go for it.
Maybe you all go out and have coffee together. And maybe, you know, maybe you all can be together. Maybe they wouldn't be upset about that. Or maybe they would. I think transparency is key. Mm. Being honest is key. And be as loving as you can. What do you think, Paris?
This is a tricky one. Because my solution for this is not the easiest. I would try and take the approach of doing the least harmful thing. And if that means not having either of them, then take the route of least harm and open communication, see what they want.
Yeah.
Even if it means you don't get what you want and not putting your needs in there, in the mix, and make amends for whatever wrong that was done.
Okay. I can go with both of those. I can go with both of those.
Does that sound doable? Does that sound...
I can pull from both directions. I want to make something work that's going to do the least amount of harm.
Good luck.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
We're rooting for you.
Thank you.
Up next, we have Nina from New Jersey.
Hi, Willow. Hi, Paris. My question actually has to do with depression. Ever since the pandemic hit, like, you know, it would kind of come in waves, but now it just seems like it's a sad day every single day. How do you turn that pain off and just find that happiness within yourself again? And what drives you to get out of bed?
It's a lot easier said than done. So I'm going to have to ask you to bear with me. I'm sure you heard me mention the word radical acceptance, which is a practice I try and work on a lot. The idea that everything happens for a reason. And sometimes when I pray, I just ask for the unnecessary pain to be taken away from me. But the pain has made me grow, and then I grow, and I work hard, and I get through it. And then I've got a little, like, lollipop at the end of the, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. Some of the gnarliest things that have happened to me have shaped me. But what gets me out of bed in the morning is wanting to help other people.
Yeah.
And music. And some days I feel like your best is going to be better than others. But if you're trying your hardest and doing your best, like, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Love that. Thank you. I'm about to tear up, to be honest.
I want to add my little
golden nugget.
Yeah, my little nugget in there of just being patient with yourself. And knowing...
That's the hardest for me, Willow. It really is.
And knowing that so much has happened in the world recently, and change is extremely difficult for our nervous systems and our brains to contend with. So I would just say, love on your heart and just hug on yourself and tell yourself that everything does pass. And just like Paris said, when you're genuinely, authentically doing your best, the universe aligns. Mm-hmm. Mm. And I really hope that our advice helped you a little bit.
Absolutely. I really felt it.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Willow from North Carolina.
Hey.
Great name.
Willow, what do you have for us today, Willow?
So I come from a super redneck, super religious family on my dad's side. I'm bisexual. I've been in mixed race relationships. I don't even talk to them because of how closed-minded they are right now. So how did you talk to your family about your life choices confidently?
Some of my family I talk to about it openly. Some of my family I don't. I've reached a point right now where I have love and respect for my family, their beliefs, their culture, their religion. And if I'm to expect them to set that aside just so I feel accepted, expectations lead to resentments for me. So I try and take the approach that what other people think of me is none of my business. And as long as I'm living a life of love and being of service and honesty, then, and I'm not hurting other people, I think I'll be all right, you know?
That's beautiful. When I'm really trying to hit the depths with someone, when I'm really trying to get them to really see my perspective, I always try to be as vulnerable as possible and even preface it with I'm really afraid of how you're gonna react right now. I know you're my family and I know that you love me and I love you, but I just need you to be here for me right now for just while I'm saying this to you. And we can, have our moment apart afterwards and then we can come back together and you can tell me how you feel and we can talk about that. But I just really need this time to pour out my heart to you and be honest to you right now.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I think I'm gonna try that one.
Thanks, thank you, Willow. Willow to Willow, haha. Okay, I want to play a little game.
Okay.
You say the first thoughts that come to your mind when I say a word.
Okay.
Okay? Future.
Bright.
Mm. Love.
God.
Mm. Life.
Death.
Mm. Luxury.
Temporary.
Faith.
Everything.
Hate.
Necessary.
Ooh. I said, ooh, no, I'm feeling these right now. Failure.
Lesson.
Mmm. Food.
Mm-hmm. Addictive.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Sex.
Sometimes sacred, sometimes not.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
There it is.
Do I get to do that with you?
Of course. Of course.
Cool.
Beauty.
Subjective.
Media.
Deceitful.
Ooh.
True.
Love.
Absolute truth.
Sex.
I'm just thinking of the ocean, just ocean.
Cool. Girl.
Crush.
Cute.
I like this game.
It's a great game.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a cool game to play on a first date.
Yes.
To kind of just lay the land of their subconscious. Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about all your tats. I've always just thought, you honestly inspired me because I was so scared a long
don't
time.
Don't say that. We both have the seed of life.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
We both have Metatron's cube.
Yes.
Look at us with our sacred geometry.
I know, right? Dr. Wu did this one.
He did this one.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm going to add on to it. I'm going to do the Viking compass wheel here.
This is fire. I love the color. I want to get colors online.
Do it.
One day. You need to tat me with your kit.
I have
your
gun. And I also am going to get a stick and poke kit, but I have a machine.
Oh, my goodness. So, next thing you know, they're going to be like, Paris Jackson is now Willow's sole tattoo artist.
I'm pretty decent, too. I'm not too bad.
These are the ones that you did.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this one is so good.
I'm very proud of that one. The others are a little janky. I'm super proud of that one.
You have to tap me. You have to tap me one day.
Whenever.
We're wrapping up.
Cool.
But I heard you like to take stuff, little keepsakes from the sets that you visit.
I do. I still props.
Yes. Give us some examples of things.
I took embalming fluid off of the last set.
With permission, I asked the director and I asked the props guy. When I was on the set for the music video in Ohio, we found bones out in the woods. So I took, there was a rib and then there was a bone that was this big. It's in my bedroom at home. And,
oh.
Yeah. I like taking little keepsakes and little...
I'm not sure if what we're going to give you is going to be as cool as a bone, but
it's cool. It's cool. I'm a hoarder. Anything will do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I got to do my name on it.
Yes.
That's amazing. Thank you.
You have your own personal... Red Table Talk customized.
Thank you.
Tea.
Thank you.
Just thank you. Yeah. Like, you're amazing.
Likewise.
Like, I just love you. I feel like it's been a drastic evolution from when we first met, and then just the ups and downs. I feel like you've just done a beautiful job with yourself. And I think that's really inspiring.
Thank you, likewise.
Until next time when you're tatting up my legs.
Yes, or if you ever need backup vocals on a song.
Yes, please. Oh, speaking of that, we should do that.
I'm down.
What are you doing after this?
Nothing.
Should we just go to the studio?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
I'm so excited for this.
Join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation. Follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk Podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.